This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can read him on NBA.com. You can watch him on NBA.com and NBA TV from time to time. Sean Powell joins us on the show. Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Nothing much whatsoever. I'm watching Golden State, and we're getting all excited and getting all worked up about Golden State and some of the ebbs and flows of the season. Honestly, Sean, and I want you to sell me on it if it's more than just hot air or us trying to find some things to write about over the last few weeks, because there have been some awkward things. Steve Kerr getting upset with them, then putting heat on himself. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant getting into it, the perpetual question, and it doesn't even seem like a question about Kevin Durant and whether or not he's going to leave. Honestly, what do you make of it? Is it just the regular season and things will be fine at least to the end of this year?
Bingo right there.
Yeah.
I don't really put too much stock in the drama, whether the drama is created, overinflated, or real, or whatever. The bottom line is, and I think Draymond Green said this a few weeks ago, he said, this is not anything that's going to stop us from winning a championship. And really, when you really think about it, isn't that what really counts? You can go back to last year when Steve Kerr was exasperated over the way the team sort of sleptwalked through a couple games, and they had, a losing streak of about, five games, whatever it was. They fell off the pace from the previous year, and what did it matter? They won a championship. So I think sometimes the NBA season is long. And, yes, when you get 15 players in the room and you ask them to coexist for 8-9 months, well, yes, some things happen. You know, these things are not new. It happened with the Lakers in the 80s, the Celtics. I mean, all the great teams, they have some drama. Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr, all that stuff goes on. But the bottom line is the bottom line. The Warriors are still the class of the NBA until proven otherwise.
How often do you get that story out of Steve Kerr about him getting punched by Michael Jordan?
Oh, it's something that he can laugh at now. He probably even laughed at it the day after it happened. I mean, I'm sure you know you've been involved in sports for a while. You're asking grown adults to all of them to coexist. They've got different personalities, different temperaments. You know, they come from different environments. You know, there are a lot of things that go on that don't even see the light of day. So I find it hilarious. But look, this is the day and age we live in. You know, everything is heightened. You know, everything is made up to be much more than what it probably is, because that's the media age we live in. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. That keeps people interested. It keeps giving you something to talk about and me something to write about. So I have no problem with it, but I just think we ought to keep all these things in the proper context.
I just don't see
how it could affect the bottom line.
I will admit, it is a bit of a hoot to write about it, at least talk about it, at least for the right now. Bob Myers, though, he said this will come to an end sooner than later when he was asked about it, I think just this last offseason. Do you think that this is a dynasty that sustains after this year if Kevin Durant leaves or if they lose somebody else? Or do you think that maybe some cooler heads will prevail? Maybe Klay Thompson takes less or something like that, and they end up keeping the great triumvirate together and their key core as they move forward?
Well, Steve Kerr said something interesting a while back. You know, he says, you know what, let's just enjoy it. It's not going to last forever. I mean, he saw where the Bulls couldn't last forever. And I agree with Bob Myers. It's going to end sooner than later, only because it's been going like this for, about 4 or 5 years. So it's not going to go another 4 or 5 years. You ask me whether the dynasty can continue if Kevin Durant leaves. Well, that opens the door for other questions. Where does he go? And does he go to a team that, you know, is it going to be a few years away like the Knicks or something like that? Then, yeah, I would say the dynasty has a chance to continue because Kevin Durant won't be around to torment them. But if he goes to the Lakers, then, you know, that's another conversation right there. Also, what happens with DeMarcus Cousins? Does he stay? And is he come back healthy from his injury? Does he give them a different dynamic than they had in the past? And all of a sudden, you know, maybe the good times last for another year or two. Klay Thompson's not going anywhere. Klay Thompson is happy there. he's already said that he's not going to hit him up for the most amount of money and all that. He is the least of their worries. I think it's really Durant, and then they go from there.
He's such a complete player, too. I have to give him so much credit, even though he's probably, because Draymond talks so much, and he's a great inside-out player. I'm not taking anything away from him. And Steph Curry brings everybody to the arena. It does seem to me, maybe it's different in Oakland, but it does seem to be to everybody else around the country that we talk about Clay the less, but boy, he can defend anybody you put in front of him. And it's only a while before you get the shooting down to where he wants it to be, and it doesn't matter because he can still heat up at any time, especially in the fourth quarter, Sean.
Yeah, but what Clay does is make the defense respect him. And that's really the highest honor, that you can't really leave him open, particularly when he's on at his sweet spot on the floor, which is probably about two or three places. I'm not going to try to make him out into something he's not. I don't think he is, like, you know, one of the greatest players of all time. Mm-hmm. He's definitely one of the greatest shooters I've ever seen, but he has his weaknesses. He's not, you know... You know, he's not on Durant's level, and we know that. But for what they ask him to do and what they need him to do, he is absolutely perfect. He helps defensively, you know, take the better guard away from Steph Curry. And again, when he gets hot, there's probably not too many better shooters in the game. And he tends to rise. And you know what? There's no drama with Clay. You know, Clay's kind of laid back, easy going. You know, he's Clay. So you don't have to really worry about him. You just throw him out there, and you have a pretty good idea what you're going to get.
Sean Powell joining us, NBA.com. There's a possibility with the trade going on, and to see if the Lakers can get Trevor Ariza. You got to get a couple of teams to dance with him. What would Trevor Ariza bring to the Lakers with LeBron and with some of the young talent that they have, even though he's 33 in his own right?
Well, are we talking to Trevor Ariza who was with Houston last year, or are we talking to Trevor Ariza with the Suns? Because Trevor Ariza with the Suns is not doing anything. I mean, you know, the guy is not making 3 points, but he's shooting like 32-33%. You know, and this is on the team that needs him. He hasn't shown me anything this year. And I'm a little disappointed, because this is professional sports and you're out to make the most money you can. I get that. But I was just a little bit surprised when he left Houston. Yeah, I understand Phoenix gave him $15 million. But, you know, you can't leave a team like Houston that was on the cusp of going to the NBA Finals if a couple things went their way, particularly injuries, Chris Paul in the playoffs. And then go to the worst team in the NBA. That's a stone cold money grab. Nothing else about it. And I don't want to hear him complain that the Suns are losing. I mean, dude, you knew what you were getting into. Now, look, would it be great for him if he went to a contender with like the Lakers? Sure. And surrounded by better players, would that rejuvenate him? Who knows? But as I said before, you know, which Trevor are we talking about? The one with Houston or the one with Phoenix?
Sean Powell joining us on the show. Stone cold money grab. I love that term for it. So when he ends up going to Phoenix, or let me go back to this. So he ends up going to Phoenix. You call it a stone cold money grab. Like, go with me on this for a second, please. 1 year, $15 million. Does he take that? Does he take that knowing that maybe he could force his way back out and end up with a better basketball team somewhere else and have somebody else pay the freight for the rest of the year?
I'm not going to say that was his grand plan, because I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't put it past another player in that situation to do that, knowing that, you know what, when you sign a contract, you know, that contract's going to follow you, you know, and you can get the best of both worlds. You can have the money and then, you know, by February or even earlier, be on a better team. I get that, you know, there's a way. I've seen players and their agents, you know, manipulate the system that way, you know, where they can get, you know, have their cake and eat it too. Look, if it works out for Trevor, more power to him. You know, more power to him. Here's a guy who, I got to be fair to him, you know, he probably played under market value for a few years in Houston. Mm-hmm. And Houston just simply couldn't afford him after they paid Chris Paul all that money and, you know, had James Harden making a ton of money and, you know, Clint Capella's got paid. So they couldn't afford him, really.
Sean Powell joining us, NBA.com. Follow him on Twitter at Powell to the people. Jim Boylan, should I start the clock on him in Chicago already?
You're fine. Boy, yeah. I mean, that one game, and I heard that he had some very strange practices where they went too long and the players didn't want to practice or something like that. I don't know. I didn't think.
Oh, they're having a mutiny already.
Yeah.
They're staging a coup.
I never thought he was long-term. I thought he was just a guy who was just going through, because it's hard to find a permanent coach from the outside in midseason. I mean, I can't recall the last time a team fired a coach in midseason and then went outside and brought a whole new coach in. And usually it doesn't happen. They usually just elevate the assistant and bite the bullet and, you know, go forward. The problem here is that the Bulls made a coaching change so early in the season. I mean, before you really got into December, mm-hmm. that you've got to go virtually a whole season with the interim coach. And that's, you know, that can be kind of awkward. Look, for the Bulls, in the big picture, does it really matter? This team wasn't going to contend for the playoffs anyway. And, you know, they're probably another lottery pick or two from doing something. I know they got some decent young players, but they're probably another lottery pick or two from doing something. And if that lottery pick turns out to be someone from Duke, well, okay, then maybe it was worth it.
It's just, man, you're less than, when was it? Was it Monday? They signed him, Sean? And we're doing this already by the end of the week here? With Jim Boylan,
yeah.
Like you at least want, and you're right, in the grand scheme of things, what the hell does it matter? You probably want, and I know that they do it differently, but you probably want the best chance of ping pong balls anyway, but my God, can we at least all get along on something here as we're making it through freaking December with how many months left to go in the season in Chicago?
And you know what, I think that might even be less reflection on Boylan as it is maybe with John Paxson.
I agree.
And Gar Forman. I mean,
I agree.
When you think about it, they're the people who created this. I mean, the buck stops with them. What about their accountability? You know, how much blame should they take? I would say they should take a hefty share. They created this situation. So it'll be very interesting. Now, you know, Michael Reinsdorf and Jerry Reinsdorf, the father-son duo that runs the Bulls, they've been pretty much hand-off. And Gar Forman and John Paxson have been there a long time. But I'm going to be very curious about what may happen next offseason, whether or not those two are going to be calling the shots. I say it's questionable.
Sean Powell joining us, NBA.com. Kyle Lowry's had a rough few weeks shooting, but he's still moving the ball pretty well. Should there be any concern up in Toronto with him?
No, because he goes in and out of that. And when you got guys like Pascal Siakam playing so much better, able to take up some of that slack, and then, you know, VanVleet, you know, being able to come off the bench and help out, I think that's kind of minimized a bit. And you can always, of course, lean on Kawhi Leonard. So I don't think it's really shown up too much in the standings. I know that the last couple games haven't been great for Toronto, and they lost a big one to Milwaukee today. But I've seen enough of Kyle Lowry to know that, you know, he's a very good player, a veteran. You know, a guy who can snap out of it. And, you know, I think he'll be fine.
Final matchup coming up on Monday between Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. I want to run this by you. My legacy for Dwayne Wade, as far as being with LeBron, not in terms of his own play, because he has been a legend in his own right. But for Dwayne Wade, there's a respect that I have for him as a player because he seems to be the only guy in LeBron's 15-year career now who actually played with LeBron and not for LeBron. And I think that there is a clear difference between those two. And I think Dwayne Wade's basically the only one who's ever done it.
Yeah, you know, I had a long talk with Dwayne Wade yesterday and about playing with LeBron. And he said that, you know what, it really wasn't that easy. That first year in Miami, look, superstars have egos. And, you know, LeBron was coming to Dwayne Wade's team. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit awkward at first, and as you recall, they started out what 6-8 or whatever it was. They started out very slowly, but it wasn't friction. There was no animosity there. It was just uncomfortable, and I think LeBron had to adjust. You know, here's a guy who owned a team in Cleveland and came to Miami and was clearly the better player than Dwayne Wade, not by much, but the better player. But he had to adjust and give credit for both of them. They both adjusted, you know, and their friendship blossomed even further from there to the point where I think it's going to be pretty special tomorrow when they exchange jerseys after the game. All the cameras will be there and everything. This is a very meaningful point in their careers and in their friendship. And I think it'll be something special to watch as well.
Sean, we thank you very much for the time, my friend. I do hope to run you down again very soon. Take care.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.